The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel. Tons of news today, all surrounded in the NFL by Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that. He's at the center of all of it. A live report from Green Bay is coming your way in seconds. Plus, why the Browns need to move on from OBJ. We'll tell you all the latest in that situation. And, of course, a report around that as well. Keyshawn Johnson's here. Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Spears. And we will have reporters joining us throughout. Let's get right to the top story of the day with the spirit fingers here from these guys. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is in the NFL's COVID-19 protocol, will miss Sunday's game at Kansas City. Vaccinated players, of course, would still have the chance to test negative, but Aaron Rodgers immediately ruled out. Here's what he said in August about his vaccine status.
Are you vaccinated, and what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized. There's a lot of conversation around it, around the league, and a lot of guys who have made statements and I've made statements, owners who've made statements. There's guys on the team that haven't been vaccinated. I think it's a personal decision. I'm not going to judge those guys.
All right, so let's get ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky in here. Rob, what do we know about the vaccination status of Rodgers at this point?
For more than a month, Aaron Rodgers in the NFL went back and forth about whether he should be considered a vaccinated player. Sources told me that Rodgers underwent an alternative treatment before training camp this year that he argued was equal to vaccination. Now, shortly before the regular season opener, the league ruled against him and considered him unvaccinated. Now, if you'll remember, at the time in training camp, we asked Rodgers whether he was vaccinated, and he used the word immunized, saying, yeah, I have been immunized. We asked Packers coach Matt LaFleur today whether that was misleading, and he said, well, that's a question for Aaron. The one thing LaFleur did say is that he is confident all players and coaches, whether vaccinated or not, have followed the league protocols while in the building, saying, quote, we have cameras everywhere.
More from Rob coming later, and as LaFleur mentioned, trying to check in with Aaron Rodgers, he's not spoken yet. But here's a reminder of the NFL's protocols for unvaccinated players. They must undergo daily testing, wear a mask indoors and when near others. Physical distancing is required, and if they have a close contact with someone who has COVID-19, they're required to undergo a 5-day quarantine. Key, what do you make of the situation at this point?
Well, to me, real quick on that one. Yep. Here, take it, Key. Run with that one. Look, hey.
I'm already.
Yeah, that was woo.
Guys, this we
is
got
hot.
News today,
no, this
all right?
One is hot.
We got to go.
Here's what I would say, Laura. Either you vaccinated or you not. And if he's not, then this is the situation, and these are the cards that you and your team are dealt. Now, that's one thing. The other thing on it is just tell us, what's the big deal? Okay? Either you are or you not, man. And we're not going to judge one way or another. I think what you got to think of with people that are not vaccinated, you're not just affecting. This is not about affecting football. I'm very sensitive to it because there's millions of people across the world that have been affected and passed along, and you may not even have known that you passed it to them. Now, with that being said, just because you vaccinated doesn't mean you can't contract, because you still can contract it. And then on the other side of things, I think when you look at it, people are not going to scrutinize it nearly as much as probably a Kyrie Irving situation, because these are two different situations. Kyrie's not vaccinated, and we all know that, and we saw the fallout from that. Let's see where this goes from here on out with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it was misleading when he said, yeah, I'm immunized. Like, that's misleading, because I know a lot of people walked away thinking he was vaccinated.
Yeah.
Based on that statement. Like, let's just get that elephant out in the room. And look, to your point, Key, we tedious when we talk about this, because it's so political now. It's so many things that's attached when you get into vaccinated, unvaccinated. But the bottom line is this. And like I said, like we've talked about before, there's consequences to both. And you have to deal with them if they come. Now, we can get into how much it means to your team and what you should and shouldn't do. I'm I am never going to sit in a seat and tell a man what he should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
All right. But you have to accept the responsibility based on the things put forth by the NFL. Right? And we could be mad about it. We could talk about it. We can go back and forth about it. The NFL decided to put protocols and things in place for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. And based on the situation and circumstances that arise throughout the season, whether you contract a positive COVID test or a negative COVID test, there are things you have to abide by. So you can be mad about it, but this is the way the structure is set up in the league that you want to play in.
Yeah, I think we all deserve to hear from Aaron on this, you know, exactly for clarification. I'm not gonna live in a world where I'm assuming that he knowingly lied and didn't follow protocols. I think we need to hear from the Packers as well in regards to that, because I'm not going to live in a world where you assume that they knew he wasn't following protocol or the team wasn't, and they try to cover anything up. I think we need to hear from that. My mind immediately went to January, because right now it's a regular season game, and you're going to miss a regular season game because of it, and there is next week. There is not next week when it comes to January. It is win or go home. And it is similar to the Kyrie situation in this regard, Keith, because in the locker room, like, you can't be happy about it. You can be frustrated with it, but you can't change it. It is his choice. And I think both those things can be true. Is as a player, you can sit there and go, my goodness, we can lose our starting quarterback in January in a playoff game because of this, and not be happy about it, but understand it is not your opportunity to change or make the choice for him. I think that the reality is this, that you, Marcus, you mentioned consequences. The difference is, when you make that choice and there's consequences in real life, there's also consequences to your teammates as the starting quarterback of the NFL.
100%.
And that is something that is somewhat indifferent to society, is everybody is depending on Aaron to be available. And when you make the choice to increase the opportunity for you not to be available, it's not only just going to impact you, it is going to impact everybody in that building.
And now Jordan Love with an opportunity here to get his first start in the NFL. Yeah. We will talk about that later on in the show, including the exact game plan for Love and these Packers against the Chiefs. But to our other top story today, Odell Beckham Jr. excused from Browns practice today. According to our Browns reporter Jake Trotter, Beckham's agent GM Andrew Berry discussing next steps for the wide receiver. This is a day after his father posted comments on social media trashing Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield, and here's Kevin Stefanski from earlier.
When you say Andrew and Odell's representatives are continuing to talk, I guess what does that mean? What are they discussing?
Yeah, I think they're discussing a lot of things. And the truth is, guys, I don't have a ton of details for you. For me, it's probably best if I just stay on Wednesday and know that he's excused today. And we'll deal with everything else as it comes.
Have you talked to Odell in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, I have not.
Look at this tweet just in from Kimberly Martin from Baker Mayfield, who is speaking around right now. We'll get more sound if we can. If he's back, we'll work through it, Baker says. I can put my ego and pride aside to win. Really interesting scenario from both sides as Dan's shaking his head. I want to point this out. If the Browns did release OBJ and he's claimed by a new team, they would inherit his deal. He's owed $8 million this year and then $13.75 million in 2022 and 2023. Both those years aren't guaranteed. But Marcus, do you think seen the last of Beckham in Cleveland?
Oh, yeah. Listen, this is earlier I talked about this on SportsCenter, and I was talking about how both of these guys need to be. You get to a point, like, the reality is you got three former NFL players. We don't all like each other. Like that, you know, we talk about the locker room. I'm not talking about y'all. We talk about
the
locker room.
They love each other now.
We always give the locker room talk in context that it's everybody get along.
Right.
And we all got great relationships, and that's why we having success. That ain't true. That's a lie. And if any NFL player tell you that, it's a lie. I played with teammates that we played great together on the field. Yeah. I wouldn't stop to pick them up off the side of the road. Like, that's the reality of it.
Mean.
But the bottom line is this.
So mean.
The bottom line is this. When you look at this particular situation, this, for me, is about Cleveland Browns front office.
Sure.
This is about what's the trajectory of your program. Where do you want to go? And also, if Baker is your guy moving forward and you just saw this statement.
That's a good point.
You better understand that he knows that Odell Beckham Jr. don't want to play with him as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of nuance to this discussion. The Browns brass needs to step in, let OBJ walk, move forward with this team, and determine what you're going to do with Baker Mayfield. Because Odell Beckham Jr. is going to find another job.
Stirring it, huh? I see you, Marcus.
Stir that pie. No.
But here's what I'm going to say. My comments have changed 50 times since the time I walked through this door. And here's what I believe. And you mentioned getting along with your teammates. We all have teammates that we don't mess with, like Marcus said. But as a receiver, the one dude that I did rock with was the quarterback.
Why are you throwing me the ball?
It's real.
Yes. This is the one dude.
It's like, aww, you guys.
I like him as a quarterback. That's about it. He's going to make sure. Yeah. He's going to make sure I get the football.
Now, not
I can
on
tell
this
you,
show.
I can tell you for sure that 13 don't rock with number 6.
Yeah. Mm.
He don't rock with him at
That's
all.
Real talk.
He wants out of there. And at the end of the day, they should. No. They tried to move him. There's no question about it. There was conversations with the New Orleans Saints. You know, he wanted to leave because he recognizes his talent and his ability, and he's not getting it done in Cleveland. Now, look, think about it this way. If I'm a star player and I'm transferred or shipped off to another team via trade, and I get there, and all of a sudden I'm not producing at the same level, and I know it's not me, how you think I'm going to respond and react to my family when they're asking me questions about what the hell is going on? I don't hold anything against his father, what his father posted.
Yeah.
That's family.
I agree with y'all. I think they need to release him because the reality is, and our show has documented it nonstop, it's yes. not working on the field, okay? We now have, over the last 48 hours, kind of some evidence that it's not working off the field either, okay? I think Odell's silence yesterday after his father releasing that video says everything that we need to know.
Yeah.
I agree. They need to release him because there's no way you can function. I'm just telling you as a quarterback. There's no way I can function in the locker room as the quarterback of the football team, as the leader of the organization or the face when I know.
And I'm side-eyeing you
right,
every day.
When I know that you don't think I'm good.
Absolutely.
And I know that you don't want to be my teammate
Absolutely.
Anymore. For the betterment of the now and the future of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And for the football team, you've got to move on for Odell. Now, do I think Odell can be a top 5 receiver in the NFL again? I'm not sold on that.
I'm sold he could be a top 10 guy.
Correct. I don't think he's a bum anymore like people are making him out to be.
No, he's not a bum.
Correct.
Injuries
I still think he can play.
Yes, absolutely.
I still think he can play. I just don't think it happens in Cleveland
Here's
anymore.
Another reason why I don't think he's there. Laura, you mentioned OBJ's numbers the next 2 years. None of that is guaranteed.
Yep.
Baker got $20 million guaranteed him
And it's
next
still
year.
A little bit unknown, right?
So much of it is about
Fifth
that.
Year option.
Right. You're talking about his numbers also on the field. He's got to get targeted. His targets per game fell from 10.5 with the Giants to 7.1 since joining the Browns. Receiving yards also dropped nearly 40 yards a game. New on NFL Live, how about this one? Our Browns reporter Jake Trotter saying that now Baker Mayfield says, and this is not really a shock, but Baker says he was just as surprised as anyone else by the post by Odell's father and has not spoken to Odell since.
You can't have this, man.
Man.
It's not going away. You've got to.
I don't need to
this
talk.
Has to
I'm
be ended this afternoon.
I'm the starting quarterback of a team. I don't need to continue to battle you in social media.
Yeah.
I just don't need to
do it. Well, right. And I think a former Baker might have jumped in that fray. But Baker has shown a little bit of maturity here, and he's probably thinking, I don't want to mess with
You're
any
not going to get growth
way.
From your quarterback in this situation.
Yeah. All right. We got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live today. It is confirmed that Saints receiver Michael Thomas now out for the season. Key and Dan will examine the situation, explain what this means for the Saints moving forward. They tried to get OBJ. It didn't work out. Plus, it's Wednesday, which means Dan and Marcus will highlight the key O-line, C-line matchups for this week. That and so much more coming here on the show. Lots of news today. NFL Live is presented by Windows 11 and Intel brings you closer to what you love. And in part by Marvel Studios, Eternals in theaters
wait.
Friday.
I cannot
Eternals.
Wait. I cannot wait for Eternals.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Michael Thomas announced today that he's out for the season due to an ankle injury, released a statement that said in part, unfortunately, rehab did not go as planned. It was apparent he would need to have the procedure to repair the injury. He said, since then, the team and I have worked diligently day and night to rehab, get me back on the field, but unfortunately, a small setback that we have to address. Key, throwing it to you quick again. What do you make of this situation?
It's a tough situation. A little disappointed. I was looking forward to watching him play in the next couple weeks. But clearly that's not going to take place. He'll be back next year, hopefully fully full strength. But the interesting thing about it is I'm glad that he is at least addressing it and getting it taken care of. And rather than try and fight through it like he did in the springtime, get it taken care of, get back out there with the team in OTAs and in training camp and go from there. They're on the same page. That's all you can ask for. You can ask to make sure that Sean is on the same page with him and the training staff and they're getting the job done, because early in the offseason, they were not on the same page. And he got the surgery done early summertime, and this is the lingering effects of it.
The backbone of this football team is Sean Payton, the offensive line and the defense. That does not change. Now, would things have been easier with Michael Thomas? Of course.
Right.
But the next 2 months of this football team will be about that sticky defense that's playing really good.
Yeah.
It'll be about that offensive line that is all the way back healthy, and it'll be about 41. Now, Trevor Siemian, as a quarterback, he's just got to make good decisions. A head coach that completely in play call and Sean Payton that knows how to take strengths of quarterbacks and minimize weaknesses and get guys to play well, use 41 in a good way. Callaway is coming on in this great defense. So I don't think that Michael Thomas was going to take this team from a, you know, contending playoff team to a Super Bowl contender. I don't believe that, as great of a receiver he is. So all the pieces in place that are going to make them a playoff contender are still there.
Yeah, I had a whole different approach to this until I heard Sean Payton talk about his communication with Mike and how they had been on the same page.
Absolutely.
I was initially, Key, I was like, what went wrong? Like, what went wrong? We thought that when the communication came out about the surgery, then it was the previous season, it was a fight. I'm like, what is happening with Michael Thomas? This was one of the best relationships,
wide receiver, head coach
in the NFL. Y'all know I know Sean Payton. Sean Payton glows about Michael Thomas. But when things start transpiring, I was like, what is happening between him and Mike? What is happening? Does Mike want out of New Orleans? But based on what Sean said today, changed my perspective
my
about communication. Yeah, I do, but
yeah,
I wasn't calling.
All you got to do is call me, man.
You biased.
Listen to me. I'm gonna make it right.
Key, nepotism. All right, more news, guys. The Las Vegas Raiders cut wide receiver Henry Ruggs III. The move came after Ruggs was released from a hospital to a Las Vegas jail on two felony charges after a fiery vehicle crash early on Tuesday that left a woman and her dog dead and Ruggs injured. More on that. Ruggs appeared in court on Wednesday morning, where prosecutors said he was traveling 156 miles per hour 2 seconds before the crash, was at 127 miles per hour when the airbags deployed in his Chevrolet Corvette. It was also said that Ruggs' blood alcohol content was twice the legal limit. He faces felony charges of driving under the influence of alcohol, resulting in death and reckless driving. Marcus, obviously an awful situation on every single level. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of the victim. What type of resources, though, did you have as a player to avoid these types of situations? And knowing now that the resources probably are even better than since when you guys played.
Every resource you could imagine. Mm-hmm. The one thing, too, going back to the locker room, you do have the teammates in the units that say, hey, man, if anybody in a bind, hit us up.
Yeah.
Right, I was that guy in Dallas. If you got problems, hit me up. We'll come get you. We'll send a car to come get you. Like, this is not new. That's what's so disappointing about this situation. It's every year we get a DUI story, or we get some situation where you think player, like, look at the news, man. It's happening. It's happening all around you. And then, too, like, we used to have this conversation in the NFL about resources and what you know and don't know. None of these dudes going to the NFL not knowing that those resources are available. Like, if you don't know, you've intentionally wanted to not know. And this is a bit personal for me. Went through something in Dallas. I'm not going to mention names. It was a very traumatic situation with a vehicle and one of my teammates dying. But I can't understand it. Like, the decision-making process in that time for Henry Ruggs or whoever decides to drive and you know you've been drinking, it's just, like, stop for a second. Like, just stop for a second and think about what the results could be. Because you always say, I'll make it home. But that lady in a pet didn't. Like, that's the real issue. So for me, man, it's disheartening. And I hate pressing on. He's going through enough. His family is going to go through enough. But it's a family that's lost their person. So it's just hard. It's hard to put it in football context. It's just difficult for me because I'm thinking about the family that lost their family
member. Yeah, the football side of things, that'll take care of itself as far as that goes. I think when you look at these situations, Laura, you asked Marcus about the resources. There's plenty of resources.
Yeah.
I mean, you could hire drivers. Even now to this day, there's Ubers and there's Lyfts, there's taxis. There's all sorts of ways to get into things. And I look at young, 22-year-old. I understand that he's young and he wants to pull up to the club and flex the car and show everybody, look at me, I made it. But to those that are looking at playing the NFL, the best thing ever for me was being able to pull up to the club and jump out of one of them black Escalades or one of them black Navigators and have somebody open up the damn door for me. Because I can get in and out at any moment in time and I can drink and don't have to worry about any of those sort of things happening. Because like Marcus said, you have a deceased person now, okay, and a whole family that is grieving. And then on the flip side of it, you got a kid that worked his whole entire life to get to the National Football League to uplift his family out of Alabama.
It's tragic,
now,
man.
All that's gone. And on top of that, he's getting ready to face some heavy criminal charges. It's senseless. So the players that are out there right now, Dan, they better wake the hell up.
Take heed, man.
Wake up. And I'm only saying players because this is an NFL topic.
Sure.
Right. It's true across the board.
Absolutely.
The woman, only 23 years old, again, sending our thoughts and prayers to her loved ones. We got more NFL Live after the break.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel. Our Week 9 Monday Night Football matchup has Justin Fields and the Bears in Pittsburgh taking on Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, those Steelers who have won 3 straight, 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. Busy Wednesday here on NFL Live. Let's get Jeff Darlington in here. Take us through all the news of the day. Jeff, let's get going with the latest on Aaron Rodgers testing positive for COVID.
Laura, I cannot remember a Wednesday in the NFL being this busy when it comes to news. And I can tell you right now that Aaron Rodgers is certainly a big one. Now, he's going to have to spend a mandatory 10 days away from the Packers due to his positive COVID test. Now, I know there were questions about his vaccination status. He is unvaccinated. In August, he said that he was immunized when he was asked if he was vaccinated. Not the same thing. So a situation where the earliest Rodgers can return is November 13th, the day before his Week 10 matchup against the Seahawks. So a sticky one for Rodgers there. All right, Saquon Barkley, a little different story here. He is vaccinated, so he'll go by different rules when it comes to his return. It means that he'll need to be both asymptomatic and produce 2 negative tests within 24 hours to play this weekend. Now, also have to remember here, though, is he's trying to come back from an ankle injury that's kept him out since Week 5. So another obstacle in the way of Saquon and the Giants as they try to get their star back on the field. Christian McCaffrey making his way at least in a decent direction when it comes to coming back from this hamstring injury. He was activated off the injured reserve. He was able to practice Wednesday. This is a first step, according to head coach Matt Rhule. He can't say whether he's going to be able to play in this upcoming game, but at least he does have a chance. We'll see how he kind of bounces back in the days to come to see if he can get on the field. Odell Beckham Jr., not at practice. He's excused from practice. The team essentially saying that for right now, he's excused. The head coach saying, I would just tell you today he's excused, and we'll see where it goes from here. But this is not a good situation at all. We are now dealing with a situation where his father actually ripped Baker Mayfield on social media. So now we'll see where that one goes. One more for you, Michael Thomas. You guys already mentioned it, but Michael Thomas in a situation where he will not be back this season as he tries to deal with this minor setback from his foot injury, Laura.
Yeah, Jeff, Thomas played in 68 of 69 possible games during his first four seasons. He's certainly valuable to that squad as soon as they can get him back. Let's go to Mac Jones and the Patriots. Mac Jones won his first consecutive games this Sunday, 27-24 victory over the Chargers. He's now brought the Patriots to a 4-4 record. That's best among this year's rookie class. Remember, he was in the conversation for that number three overall pick by the 49ers? Interesting. Mac Jones actually leads a host of rookies. Look at this. Over the last 10 years, Mac Jones ranks in the top 10 among rookie seasons in QBR, yards per attempt, and off-target percentage, meaning the number of passes over or underthrown. The five QBs that had a better mark than him in that metric include Joe Burrow and Russell Wilson's rookie campaign, so not bad company right there. Dan, those are the numbers, but what does Mac Jones' tape show you about why he's playing so well?
Yeah, I think Mac Jones is the best rookie quarterback I have ever seen when it comes to knowing who to throw to, when to throw it, and then how to throw it. All right, so you're going to get a
three-by-one
complex for their offense. Now you're going to get man-to-man across the board, and you're going to get a drop-down safety, and one safety kicks back to the middle of the field. Now, it's a full progression read. Number one's a go route, two on an in-breaker, three on an in-breaker. Number one, Mac, peak. Now that inside, the receiver goes inside. That go route is now dead. Now let's come to number two with that safety dropping down. That's where you want to go, but that safety's going to hit that receiver right if he comes out of his break. Now get to three. But the ball's got to get out now because that safety's going to collapse on number three as well. That is beautiful progression-wise by Mac Jones. Now let's look at another one where we get a play-action fake with jet sweep motion. Look at how quickly Mac Jones puts his back foot in the ground. Those receivers in the top of the pass concept aren't even in the route. Jonnu Smith's the check down. If he doesn't get it out quickly now into space, that's a sack fumble. When to throw the football and where to throw the football. This is my favorite play of the game. Look how quickly, back foot in the ground right now. If he hitches, waits a second, that is another sack fumble. But he lofts it over just with touch to space the Jacoby Myers. But the ability to know, if he puts his back foot in the ground and does one little hitch there, that is a, from the backside, sack fumble, completely different game. So in the box score or whatever, that doesn't look like a big play. Hmm. But those two plays, to Jonnu Smith to the flat, and then to Jacoby Myers on the shallow cross route, the ability to know when to throw the football, where to throw the football, and how to throw the football so quickly, it's the best I've ever seen from a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. His skill set lended itself to the New England Patriots. And a lot about what they did. They went out and got two tight ends. Mac Jones was used to that at Alabama. He understood the offense. This is why we fought so long pre-draft. I was like, the dude needs to go to New England. That's the best situation for him because the way Mac Jones has been coached with Nick Saban is to take care of the football. That's been drilled into his head day one. Get the ball out of your hands. Hit your checkdowns. We cannot score a touchdown every single play. These are some examples of why Mac Jones needed to end up in New England and be very familiar with what he was going to be asked to do from an offensive standpoint. Mac Jones is strength right now. And Mina talked about this a couple weeks ago about Bill Belichick not limiting him and allowing him to be explosive. And then me and RC went back and forth about should you throw the ball. Yeah. You have to continue to put things on this plate. But this situation for Mac Jones was so perfect because this is what Mac Jones has been asked to do since he started playing quarterback.
Hold on, before you hop in. So do you think that he wouldn't be playing this well if he was in a different place like a San Francisco?
100%. I agree 100%.
He would or would not be?
If he was anywhere else, he wouldn't be playing this good.
Wow.
Anywhere else.
I completely disagree with that.
No, Dan.
His skills transfer no matter of the system.
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. When we were talking about this draft, I thought it was the same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought, because my mindset, he's better
than Jimmy.
My mindset was Shanahan is trying to add an element to this offense he doesn't have.
Even
that's what I was arguing about.
To get him
I was arguing that point.
My pushback to that would be this is better than Jimmy, and the way he does this is way better than Jimmy.
He only does this because this is the right decisions to make within this offensive system that Josh McDaniel and the New England Patriots want to run. It's young Tom Brady, man. Go back and look at the film. That's all it is. It's not seven time Super Bowl Tom Brady. Young Tom Brady, yeah. Protect the football. Make sure you get it out to the outlet receivers. We're not asking you to push the ball down the field. We just need you to protect it. That's all it is.
You know, I hear both sides of this, but it's interesting because we also said that the 49ers had the most ready-made offense for any quarterback that was coming out of the draft.
Brett Favre.
Stop it, you guys. All right, when we return, Mahomes and the Chiefs enter another must-win situation against the Packers on Sunday. No Aaron Rodgers. We'll return and talk about the focus for Mahomes and Andy Reid. They addressed the media earlier today. You'll hear from them. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel.
Intel's great.
Intel.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kick off your Week 9 NFL Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern with the Countdown crew on ESPN, the ESPN app. All the early breaking stories, injury updates, and previews of each game right up into kickoff. Glad you're with us here on NFL Live. Before the season, ESPN's Football Power Index gave the Kansas City Chiefs the highest percent chance to win the Super Bowl. After Week 1, their chance to make the playoffs rose to 92%. But entering Week 9, look at that. The Chiefs have seen the third largest decline in playoff odds since Week 1, behind only the Dolphins and Seahawks, who have both been without their QB1 for part of the season. We got Jeff Darlington here with us and Keyshawn, of course. Jeff, you recently had a chance to talk to Mahomes. How much of a toll has the struggles he's had taken on him recently?
Well, Laura, that's actually an interesting way of putting it, because I don't sense that it's necessarily taken a toll on Patrick in the normal sense. I actually felt some optimism after talking to him, because he didn't seem panicked at all, and he also didn't seem like jaded or cynical by the criticism that's come his way. He seemed very willing, kind of like almost sitting forward in his seat, like ready to kind of attack it and address it, but not in the way that a lot of times some athletes can do when they're up against that criticism. He just seemed willing to say that, I know we need to get better, I know how we need to get better, and we're going to get better. I think from that standpoint, that could resonate a lot within that locker room if, in fact, this Chiefs team is going to bounce back.
Yeah, and when you're a leader of a football team and you're a top-notch quarterback or player for that matter in any sport, you know what your problems are. You know how to fix them. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get there than most. But in the end, I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes, and quite frankly, I'm not really worried about the Kansas City Chiefs. What they've got to do is just get back to the basic drawing board and stop trying to push the ball down the field, take the easy money, and then capitalize on that before you start to move on to the next level. Just because you got in the way with things in the past don't necessarily mean you're going to get away with it now. And I think Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Eric Bieniemy certainly know that.
Yeah, shout out to our guy Marcus Spears. On that drive when they ran the ball with Gore, it was like, man, this is what they should be doing. Yeah. We'll see if they continue to go with that. All right, speaking of Marcus, we sent him and Dan over there back into the trenches. What are the best matchups at the line of scrimmage this week, boys?
Well, part of it is going to be with this Kansas City Chiefs Green Bay Packers game.
Don't if at me this week. I'm letting you know I'm ready.
All right. Anyway, all right. Lucas Patrick versus Chris Jones. Yeah. Okay, the guard versus the Green Bay Packers versus the defensive tackle for the Chiefs.
Please let him be a defensive tackle majority of this game, number one. And the one thing you got to stop about Chris Jones is his ability to get upfield and pressure your quarterback and create sacks. He's top 12 in the league right now in sacks created. That means people are feasting because Chris Jones balled.
No Aaron Rodgers either, obviously. All right, Nick Bosa, time to show up versus DJ Humphreys. Humphreys has given up 6 sacks this season so far.
Yeah, DJ got his work cut out for him. And obviously, we saw last week the Green Bay Packers get a little pressure on this Arizona offensive line. It's a big challenge for DJ. Nick Bosa is an athletic freak, but he has the strength to go power. You better be able to protect it all. All right,
Mina Kimes is rookie of the year. Rashawn Slater versus your big man Baldwin member last week for the Philadelphia Eagles, Josh Sweat.
I still can't believe when I tweeted out that this was a good extension for the Philly Eagles. I have Philly fans saying he's not good. Yes, he is, right? It's a point of contention with people when they don't see the gaudy sack numbers. Josh Sweat creates so much pressure off the edge. Rashawn Slater has been playing wonderful. This will be a great matchup. This is about speed. This is about making sure Rashawn feet are right and he can protect that speed and that bend off the edge.
All right, how about this one? I think it's a big game, too.
Big one.
Hassan Reddick versus Isaiah Wynn. I'm going to put Reddick up there just because the run game is such a big part of New England with Isaiah Wynn as well. But Reddick's starting to create some issues for offenses.
Yeah, he coming along. Him and Burns are two guys that you talk about from Carolina. But the bottom line is this. The New England Patriots are starting to find themselves.
Yeah,
they're starting
are.
To identify how they want to play offense, how they run. You just had a tape about Mac Jones getting the ball out of his hands. It's imperative that Wynn is physical in the run game.
Yeah.
But also when their protection needs to hold up because those guys can go.
Yeah. So, all right, this is the biggest matchup for me this week, personally. Harold Landry versus Witt. Now, Witt, I want to let you know, I wanted to put you up on the board, but he kept saying
that's
we got to put Harold Landry up.
That's a
you know,
lie.
I wanted to pick the OG to get on
that's
the board.
My brother
but
right
Harold
there.
Landry
matter of fact,
get
if
up
you
want to
switch it, you can. Because Big Witt is my brother
look at
from
Witt.
Another.
Look at
listen,
Witt
the old man is what I call him now, still
great
playing
face.
At a very high level. Harold Landry is going crazy this year, NFL fans. But it's his motor, it's his technique, and his ability to get offensive linemen hands off of them, and Big Witt's strong suit is to grab you with them big meat hooks and hold on
and
to you.
And you're going
to
be one-on-one a lot, too.
Absolutely.
Witt, I got your back, bro.
Yeah, put my man
I can't
up,
believe
John.
You did that to me. Witt, I got your back.
Witt, I got you, bro. I got
you.
You
know what? Dan didn't even try to come for you today, Marcus. You said you were ready, and he heard you.
I told him. Yeah, he know better.
With the absence of Rodgers, Jordan Love, now the man in charge of the Packers offense this week against the Chiefs. We're going to tell you exactly the plan for Jordan Love and what it should be as he gets his first career start. NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel, brings you closer to what you love.
Intel's great.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Back on NFL Live, a day full of news. This new on our show, the Cardinals have placed wide receiver A.J. Green on the COVID-19 list. They've dealt with quite a few players and coaches lately with the COVID list. Now A.J. Green joins Aaron Rodgers on that list, as Aaron Rodgers has been placed on the COVID-19 list and is out for the game on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. This first reported by the NFL Network. Let's bring in our ESPN Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky. He's at the team facility. Rob, a statement just released by NFL PR as it relates to this Rodgers situation and the Green Bay Packers. What's the latest from your standpoint?
Yeah, Laura, the statement is the critical thing right now. I'm just going to read part of it to you. It says the primary responsibility for enforcement of COVID protocols within the club facility rests with each club. And the league said they are looking into whether there have been violations on that. Now, earlier today, Coach Matt LaFleur said he believes that the team has followed all the protocols for both vaccinated and unvaccinated players. And let's go back even further, Laura, to the very fact that the news came out that Aaron Rodgers tested positive. Okay, then we broke the news that he had sought an alternate treatment over the summer and was trying to get the NFL to approve that as a vaccinated player. That went on for about a month or so, right up before the season opener, when Rodgers was finally told, you are considered unvaccinated. You did not get one of the approved COVID-19 vaccines, so now you must follow protocols for unvaccinated players. And at this point, the league is looking into whether Rodgers has done that. Now, I was told that he does wear masks when he's inside the team facility. That would be, for example, in team meetings. He does not necessarily have to wear one on the sidelines. Outdoor stadiums and other factors are that. He does not wear one when he meets with the media, and we don't know at this point if that's a violation or not.
Yeah, that's one of the things, although it does say on the protocol that non-vaccinated players need to be wearing a mask within team facilities at all times. So again, as Rob just told us, the NFL looking into this, we'll get the latest on them. Thanks to Rob for that. Now we turn the page to who's going to be the quarterback for the Packers this weekend. And of course, Jordan Love squarely in that conversation. They brought in Blake Bortles, but here's what Matt LaFleur had to say about the plan earlier today.
I think our guys will rally around Jordan. We've got a lot of confidence in him, and what a great opportunity for him to showcase what he can do.
How ready is Jordan to start?
We'll find out, right? I know he's been working hard every day, and I think Luke Getsy does a great job with him, getting him prepared. Certainly, the majority of his reps have taken place on the scout team, but that's something that we try to, when we're doing those scout teams and in practice, you try to take whatever's on the card or whatever play they're running and put it into our terms to help the development process. So I know he takes every rep very seriously.
Man, that was so telling when LaFleur's like, we'll see how ready he is.
I'll let you know on Monday.
Honest answer right there. And, you know, I mean, maybe this is the time when you say, Dan, it's probably good that he did get some reps when Aaron Rodgers was out in the preseason. But yeah, Let's all realize that was the preseason. What does the game plan look like specifically for Jordan Love on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously run the football, right? But specifically for Jordan, I think, number one, get the ball out quickly. Run RPOs that are not necessarily on watching a guy post-snap, but it's numbers. Predetermine the decision, okay, too many numbers, we'll kick the ball to the perimeter. I would live in 11 personnel. Last week I said live in 12 versus Arizona. They did. I would live in 11. Kansas City stinks on defense when you line up in 11 personnel versus them. They've gone so much offensively to an empty game in Green Bay this year. I would go back to the play action game. Empty's a lot to clarify for quarterbacks, but it's also you can get a lot of different protections or issues and pressures. I would go more play action for Jordan Love to allow him to react. I would use Aaron Jones for information. In and out of the backfield. Motion him. Is it man? Is it zone? So you have to do less thinking for Jordan Love. And the last thing that I would do is have a plan for zero. Spags is going to bring zero pressure. Always have a plan for if I get to the line of scrimmage and I think it's zero pressure, what do I do with the football? I think if you do that for him, he can go play well and they can still win the football game.
You know, playing with a backup quarterback, I play with a bunch of them. And our game plan didn't necessarily change what we did going into that week. We took things out of the game plan that the backups can do well. You don't want to all of a sudden scrap everything that we've been working on all week long because something came up. And I think that is what Green Bay is going to do. Dan said empty personnel. Yeah, you want to empty it out because you want the ball out fast and quick, especially if they bring in pressure. I don't want play action pass because I don't want a young quarterback that hadn't played in, 2 years?
He was inactive all of 2020. Okay. And then prior to that, you're right.
Exactly. So, yeah. So 2 years of non-playing football, all of a sudden he's turning his back and eyes to the defense. I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want that because he's on the Autobahn now. This is not UNLV playing against Utah State. This is real big boy football. It's totally different. And 2 years off, it's a lot.
Mm. Yeah. I'm a focus on it from a defensive player standpoint. And y'all know how I am, man. It's hard as hell to defend these backup quarterbacks, man. Mm. Especially when you don't have tape.
You're not licking your chops?
Until you figure out that we can get him in passing situations, you are not licking your chops. I guarantee it. Because your whole plan, and then, too, people forget this about Jordan Love. He got legs.
Yeah,
he's a dual guy. So there will be an element to this offense with that as well. But when you look at what the Green Bay Packers were able to do against the Arizona Cardinals and how they had to devise a game plan based on who was missing, they did a phenomenal job. And it goes back to what Dan said. They decided Aaron Jones was going to be the focal point. A.J. Dillon got a lot of handoffs and was able to run a physical game as well. And I think the confidence of Green Bay coming out of that game, saying we can be physical at the line of scrimmage, really gives them a lot of access to let Jordan Love kind of get comfortable in this game. We watched it with Dallas and Cooper Rush, right? It was the same thing. There's a formula for these guys. And then when they make a play on you as a defensive player, you're like, damn, he got that too?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they deploy him, man.
The reason, Key, that I don't want empty and I do want more play action, my empty mind goes back to when the Kansas City Chiefs played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, the greatest empty quarterback in the history of football, and he threw interceptions against them because blitzes were coming from all over the place and they were dropping. I don't want my quarterback to have to do that. I get your point of get the ball out quickly, Maybe it's perimeter screens. But I don't want that young kid to say, okay, who's coming here? Play action pass, yes, you turn your back to the defense, but you can play fast. I don't need to know the coverage. I'm going one, two, three, four. The more you could do that for him, I think the better he plays.
All right, we'll see.
Matt LaFleur, you up, baby.
Yeah, right.
Open your mouth, Dan.
The scheme. If he had caught that in his mouth, it would have been weird. We'll see you tomorrow.
Still making bad throws.